You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside nobody else tonight, it is just me. I'm sorry. I am your lowly host, Ryan Chambers. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast here of THPN. Next time you are there using DraftKings Sportsbook, we thank them for being our sponsor, by the way. Use that promo code THPN for a special little offer from them. As always, we appreciate them. And as Stars fans, we better start appreciating one Steve Spott and one Wyatt Johnston and one Jim Neal here. Dallas Stars get the 6-3 win over the St. Louis Blues here tonight at the American Airlines Center. The Stars go 4-for-4 on the power play. Wyatt Johnston gets a hat trick power play goals, I guess is what you call it. All of his goals were on the power play here tonight, and it was just fantastic. This evening, Stars continue to find a way to win, and that seems to be the one of the biggest takeaways coming out of this game here tonight is the fact that, yes, the Stars get amazing power play goals. They go 4-for-4. They get a whole bunch of saves out of Jake Oettinger tonight. And not just easy ones either. There were some high-quality chances for St. Louis. But the main thing is the Dallas Stars are just finding a way to win. And at the beginning of the season, we were talking about, you know, this team seems to find ways to lose, and they're not getting the goals when they need it. This team right now is finding ways to win, despite what I would argue is probably getting outplayed here tonight for a good chunk of the game. What were the shots here tonight as I look them up? If I remember correctly, it was like 42 to like 23 or something like that here in the game tonight. Here, let me see. Let me pull this up here real quick. 42 to 21. That's ridiculous. The Stars were outshot every single period. 14-9 in the first, 19-7 in the second, and then 9-5 to close out the game. So 42-21 overall. So I kind of generalized everything here tonight, but obviously the big storyline here today is the power play. The power play just continues to be this kraken that nobody seems to be able to figure out when opposing teams come into the American Airlines Center lately. Or actually on the road too. They've been very good on the road too. They literally go 4-for-4. It's the first time in Dallas Stars history where they do so. And, I mean, where are the people calling for Steve Spott's job now? Is the only thing that I can think of. There are a combination of factors for why the power play has been so much better. Obviously, you can point to Thomas Harley being on the back end instead of Miro Heiskanen, and that was not even necessarily because they wanted to. It was kind of just like they were forced to with Miro getting hurt. Steve Spott did make some adjustments on the power play, including not always looking for the pretty play or the best play or whatever. You could say that the better players have been better. When you look at Wyatt Johnston, when you look at Jason Robertson, Roope Hintz, all of these guys had a really rough beginning to the season when it comes to the offensive side of the puck. We were just relying upon Marchment, Duchesne, and Sagan to start the year. Like Sagan, a lot of people forget because he's been out of the lineup for so long, but he was basically a point per game player at the beginning of the season. And same thing with Duchesne. Duchesne continues to be a point per game player, but he's kind of taken a back seat a little bit here with the reemergence of Wyatt Johnston, Robe Hintz, and Jason Robertson. So three big factors in why the power play has looked better over the last 2 months, 2.5 months, something like that. So I really think you got to give a lot of the credit to Steve Spott, though, in my personal opinion. I think he has been one of the reasons why it's gotten better. And I don't know what he did, what he decided to do differently, that or what made him decide to go a different route, but whatever he decided to do has absolutely worked. It has absolutely worked. Second big storyline coming out of here tonight is the fact that Wyatt Johnston is... There's not a word to describe Wyatt Johnston. Like, I can't remember being this excited for a rookie or for a young player in a very long time. When you look at the way that he plays, when you look at the way that he progresses, just the way he plays the game, he has never taken a step back, it feels like. At the beginning of the season, we probably wanted to see a little bit more of him. Yeah, but he wasn't the only one that was, you know, not doing all that great offensively. He has just continued to progress in the right way in every facet of hockey, in everything. When it comes to his maturity level and his ability to wear an A on his jersey, above a lot of other players who are probably just as, worthy to wear that A when Miro went down. The goal scoring continues to be big for him, and he continues to show progression there. He is getting better on the power play. Obviously, here tonight, all three of his goals are on the power play. He scores big goals at the right time, and he never shies away from a big moment. And one of the things that Pete DeBoer was talking about in the press game was he thought Wyatt Johnston probably could have been on Team Canada and been plugged in and would have fit just like a glove and would have played fine and would not have looked out of place at a best-on-best tournament for the Four Nations. So coming from an assistant coach for Team Canada, that is a lot of praise heaped towards Wyatt Johnston. And when he scored that third goal and the American Airlines Center is going nuts, the only thing I could think about in the back of my mind was how we got this guy. And not to go into a deep history lesson with you guys, but this guy was not taken in the top 10. He wasn't even taken in the top 20. And I'm doing this off the top of my head. I believe he was taken 23rd overall. And who had it earlier? Someone put it in the chat for me. Yeah, here we go, Harrison. Jim Nill traded down to draft Wyatt Johnston. Traded down! That is ridiculous. And so far, 3 years after that draft, he is by far the best player to come out of that draft class. And it's not even close. And in everything that he does, he has been the best player to come out of that draft. He is 21 years old. 21 years old. And he's playing like a seasoned vet who has been playing in the league for 7 or 8 years. When I was walking up to the American Airlines Center this afternoon, it was around 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I saw the new banner that they've got on the south side of American Airlines Center. They recently redid it because obviously Luka got traded. One of the things I realized is that it's not Jamie Benn that's featured on this giant banner on the side of the American Airlines Center. It's Miro Heiskanen, Otter in the background a little bit, Jason Robertson, and then Wyatt Johnston, prominently featured on this banner. This kid came out of nowhere, it seemed like. And I put this up on X on the podcast feed. I was like, one of the few things to come out of COVID that was actually a good thing was how overlooked Wyatt Johnston was from the entire hockey world. Like, the entire hockey world did not look at this player and realize the potential that he has. Not only is he a difference maker now in the present, but he's going to be one in the future and could be for over a decade. I mean, and Darren, the more he plays like this, I absolutely 100% agree with you. 53 equals future C, aka the future captain of this team. Everyone was talking about for the longest time, this is Miro's team. And some people are like, no, this is still Jamie Benn's team. I don't know, guys. This seems to continue to get pushed and pushed and pushed towards Wyatt Johnston's direction. I mean, I don't know how you can look at him and say he's not going to be the next future captain of this team. Just absolutely fantastic, ridiculous play. He can play in all situations. I could go on for another 30 minutes about Wyatt Johnston, but just in the interest of time, let's move on from here. The other thing I did want to mention is Jay Gottinger tonight, and he actually got interviewed by the media here this evening too. He was very good. I thought he had his moments where it looked like he bobbled a couple of pucks, but in a game where the Stars weren't really their best and they were just able to capitalize on their chances, he was very good for them here tonight. And yes, I know 3 goals against, whatever, but the important thing is he stopped the pucks when he was needed to. And he continues to be fantastic going down the stretch run. And there's a reason why he's a number one goalie and why he got extended by the Dallas Stars all those years ago. So he's going to continue to be fantastic for the Stars. And as much rambling and ranting about all the good things that Wyatt Johnston did and how important he will be in the playoffs, the Stars are only going to go as deep as Ottinger can take them. That's what my personal opinion is because of how big of a game changer he can be. And you can say, well, yeah, he's not as big as he had been, you know, compared to that playoff series against Calgary all those years ago. But it really doesn't matter. I mean, the playoffs will firmly rest on Ottinger's shoulders. And we'll have to see what he can do here in the playoffs. It was quite hilarious getting a chance to talk to him and then all the other players that we were allowed to this evening, the media, because we were able to discuss, you know, everyone was yelling at him to shoot the puck at one point for the open net. It was like a little less than a minute remaining. And he said he didn't realize how much time he had, and you know, he's not quite sure he can get it all the way down there. So I don't, eventually he'll get one. Eventually he'll get one before his career's up, but it was quite hilarious to talk to all the players. And Marchman even said that he was actually mad at Otter because he didn't take a chance there at the end of the game. But you know, it is what it is. He'll get his chance here eventually. You know, the only other thing from a negative standpoint here tonight, guys, is just the fact that they did get outplayed for points. And to give full credit to St. Louis, I had a bad feeling about this game. And I didn't have a bad feeling about this game until I got up into the press box and started, you know, going through notes and going through some of the pregame stuff. I mean, when you look at some of the storylines going here into the game tonight, you know, the Blues had won 4 in a row up to this point. They had won 4 out of the last 5 when they had been on the road. I think it was something ridiculous, like Jordan Binnington had a 950 save percentage or something like that. Just absolutely ridiculous things. And it also, if they won tonight and they got a little bit of help from Carolina, I believe, if Carolina beats the Flames here this evening, they could have catapulted into a wild card spot for the first time in a while. They weren't able to do that here tonight because of just the, well, one, because of the power play, two, because of Wyatt Johnson, three, because of Jake Oettinger. And it's just absolutely ridiculous what they've done. It's absolutely ridiculous. So that's why it gave me a little bit of shakiness when I started the game. I was just like, ooh, I'm a little bit nervous about this game, even though it's the second night of a back-to-back for the St. Louis Blues. But
hey, guys, it's Ryan here. It might not feel like it, but spring's right around the corner. Know how you can tell? Golfers are hitting the links, and we have some tournaments to be talking about. And if you want to do more than just talk, put your money where your mouth is. Get in on all of the tee-to-green action with DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round through the closing round Sunday, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with tournament props, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And if you've never bet on golf before, it's easier than you think. Just pick something simple like a golfer to win the tourney and make your pick. It's just that easy. For example, when you look at the Masters coming up here in a little less than 2 months now, Scottie Scheffler is the winner right now, according to DraftKings Sportsbook odds, with a plus 350. Or you could go with Rory McIlroy at a plus 750. Here's something special for first-timers as well. If you do go and bet for one of these two guys, new DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casinos and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
That's about all I've got in terms of just kind of breaking the game down. Y'all let me know down in the comment section below. I'm going to kind of go through some of y'all's comments here real quick and kind of discuss some of the stuff since Chris and James are not here this evening. Zachary, great game tonight. AAC was rocking. They absolutely were. And I was really hoping that Otter would take a shot at the open net. But and the American Airlines Center was trying to get behind him, and there were even people yelling, shoot! Wyatt, more like Y-hat, because of the hat trick. Y-hat, the Bennington Destroyer. Absolutely love it. I already did that one from Harrison saying Jim Nill traded down. Let's see. Wyatt and Robo on fire at the same time is ridiculous. Jim Nill has to be really hesitant to go out and make a big trade right now. Tough choice. I slightly disagree with you on your comment a little bit, Zachary, because I think if they do make another trade, it's not going to be on the forward side. That's just my personal opinion because they've got a whole lot of depth on the forward side. I mean, and this is also including without Tyler Seguin in the lineup too, which I think he's going to be ready for the playoffs. So you're looking at Blackwell and Beck being scratched, or Blackwell and possibly Stankoven being scratched, or, you know, maybe even Sam Steele gets scratched at some point. I mean, there's some players that shouldn't get scratched that probably will be just because of the depth on the forward group. But for the defense, I think that's where it's going to make a difference here. I think he's going to go make out a trade with somebody, and I think it's going to be someone that no one is talking about right now. So that's my personal opinion, and I don't think it's going to be like a sexy pick. It's not going to be a Noah Dobson or a Rasmus Ristolainen or any of the names that are being talked about right now. So and we'll talk about Seth Jones here in a second, if I remember. So y'all help me remember to talk about Seth Jones for just a second. Let's see. Harrison, they were outplayed the entire game, with maybe the exception being the final 5 minutes of the first. I don't know about that. The beginning of the second, the first 10 minutes of the second, actually Pete DeBoer mentioned it too. I thought they played really well the first 10 minutes of the second period, but they allowed St. Louis to kind of get back in it a little bit, especially around when St. Louis got their goal in the second period. Basically, anywhere around where they got their goal, after that, you know, the Blues started to push a little bit more. Okay, let's see. Darren Smith. Obviously talking about the power play here, and when I was discussing the power play earlier. Movement, and then adding 95 to the power play one. Yes, absolutely. That's also a good point. Although with the movement, they're still not looking for the perfect pass anymore, I don't think. Although some of the goals they've been able to score lately, and I think it was Wyatt's second power play goal. I think everybody on the ice touched the puck within 3 or 4 seconds. Anyway, it was just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And Wyatt Johnson happened to be the reciprocator of the of that particular goal. So, and then Matt Duchene has quietly, I don't even want to say quietly, he's just been very good the entire season. He had a quiet spell for a little while, but with the emergence of, again, those big three guys, excuse me, Wyatt Johnson, Roope, and Robo, with those three guys kind of taking center stage more, it's almost like Matt Duchene has taken a backseat a little bit, but not really. He's still been very good, and I think he still leads the team in points, although I don't know if that's necessarily true here tonight. Okay. Lots of Wyatt Johnston talk here. Let's see. 53, our rising superstar. We are due for a game-breaking superstar in Dallas. And this is something I've talked about recently with both Chris and James, is the fact that we have a very good team right now. And the thing that worries me about us compared to other teams like Florida, like Edmonton, like Colorado, is we lack a superstar, if that makes any sense. Colorado's got Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon. Obviously, Edmonton has Leon and Connor McDavid. When you look at Florida, I would put Matthew Tkachuk up there in terms of being a superstar at this point. And, I mean, they've got Sam Reinhart. They got Carter Verhaeghe, who can score like 40, 50 goals. Wyatt Johnston is on that path. He is absolutely on that path. And is he going to be on that path? Is the question. I think he just has to have an enormous season, probably next year, or an enormous playoffs to finally show the NHL that, yes, he has truly arrived. And, yes, he is the superstar that Dallas has needed for a while. Got to get Johnson extended soon. And that is a good segue into talking about the Seth Jones deal. Seth Jones gets traded to Florida. And the report is he gave the Chicago Blackhawks only two teams that he would be willing to be traded to. One was us, and the other was Florida. And Dallas was not interested, not even in the slightest. And that's probably a big reason why. It's because Wyatt Johnson is going to eat a huge chunk of change whenever he gets re-signed here in the next several months. I hope they get it done sooner rather than later, but we'll have to wait and see. I mean, what are we talking here, guys? Like, if you're Dallas, you probably want an 8-year deal out of him, right? If you're Wyatt, you don't go for the 8-year, because you could, given his progression, he's only going to get better. So maybe he takes a 4-year deal, and I mean, could he be the Stars? No. Could he? He will be the Stars' first player to make over $10 million. That's my personal opinion. I would not, and I'm not joking, would not be surprised to see him make between $11 and $12 million. That's just my personal opinion. I mean, I don't see how you can ignore it. And especially if he has a lights out playoffs, then he's definitely getting between 11 and 12. But at the very least, I think he's going to be the first player in Dallas Stars history to make over $10 million during the cap era, I should say. Okay. Loch Ness Monster. That's actually very interesting that you asked this question. Let me say the question for everybody listening on the audio side. Have any of y'all noticed this mean streak Robo has picked up? I kind of like it. He big body. He big body. I like the fragment sentence there at the end. I have noticed that, actually. And we saw that a little bit at the end of last year, too, was the fact that, you know, just he's shown a little bit of snarl that he didn't have 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Robertson did not have anything like this at all. It was not even close. And we saw a little bit of that physicality in the playoffs. And the offense didn't really follow as much as you would want it to in the playoffs, so if that makes any sense. He was still very good in the playoffs, but not to the levels that we really needed him to be and what he was getting paid for. Now he's doing both. I don't even know how many points he had here tonight. I'm going to guess two, maybe three. Before tonight's game, he had, I wrote this down too. I think it was 36 points in the last 23 games. Yes. 36 points in the last 23 games since 2025 began. That's way over a point per game pace. I mean, yes. And he's showing this physicality and this nastiness that, you know, the Loch Ness Monster is talking about. Yes. That we need to see more of that. Absolutely. And I love to see it. Darren Smith. I did not know this. Apparently they've made Wyatt an $8 million/$65 million offer. So that's, I'm guessing that's 8 years, $65 million per. If that's the case and he accepts that, that is a huge discount. in my personal opinion. But I just don't see how he doesn't command $10 million. Just the way that he's been going. It just absolutely ridiculous, this guy is. Let's see. And it looks like some people giving other players flowers for why Wyatt Johnston has been so good. Zachary saying, I'll give 14, talking about Jamie Benn, his flowers here. YJO has Benn to thank for what he is becoming. Benn has a huge hand in it, and he does. And the Loch Ness Monster also saying, and Pavs too, Zachary agreeing with him too. Of course, Pavs. Pavelski has got to be a huge reason why, and the Pavelski family is a huge reason why his transition into the NHL was so easy for him, you know, when he was only 19 years old. Both of those guys have been huge in getting Wyatt Johnston where he is. And Jamie Benn, I would bet Jamie Benn has a point tonight. Am I going to lose that bet? Let me look. Let's see. Almost there. He does not have a point tonight. Dang it. I was wrong. Oh, well. But his face-off percentage, 80%. That's ridiculous. That's what you need. Okay. Anyways, that's good for in terms of comments. Other than I do want to get to one because it is a super chat. Ryan, thank you so much for the super chat. $4.99. Appreciate you so much. Steve Spott, coach of the year, just like we've said all year, hashtag spot on. I like the hashtag. I actually might use that. You're such a liar, Ryan. there's no way that anybody said that. Even while the Stars power play was so bad, there's no way that anybody said, oh, they'll turn it around eventually. even I was very, very critical of the Stars power play early in the season, and everything is turning for them right now. I mean, they are not winning games the way they should, and they're still doing it and finding ways to win, which is basically the whole circle of the podcast, going back to the beginning of what Pete DeBoer said in the post-game press conference. All right. Biggest winner, biggest loser here tonight. I'm going to give my biggest winner, obviously, to Wyatt Johnston, and by correlation, the Stars power play, and by correlation, Steve Spott. I don't think you can say one without having the other two in that conversation. They are the biggest winners here tonight, with a little biggest winner to Jake Oettinger. Jake Oettinger was fantastic tonight, and just the quantity of saves that he had to make, especially. Biggest loser tonight is the goaltending of the St. Louis Blues. I don't know what it was about Joel Hofer in the three goals that he allowed in the first period, but he did not look very good. And obviously, Monty being Jim Montgomery, the head coach of the St. Louis Blues, formerly of the Dallas Stars, kind of agreed with that assumption and switched it right back to Bennington, who played the night before. And, I mean, Bennington got lit up too. So they both let in three goals here tonight. And I'm not saying that it was all their faults, because the Stars had I don't know what it is about the power play. It's just demented right now. Everything is going right for the Dallas Stars on the power play right now. So, but they do let in six goals. So they've got to be the biggest loser here tonight. I think that's about it. So I appreciate you guys following along live with me here this evening, if you have been. There's even more of you guys who are listening afterwards. Click like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode of Starcaster Remarks. If you're listening on the audio side, please, I beg you, leave us a 5-star review wherever that may be. StarcasterRemarks.com is the website. Go and check that out. And as always, thank you to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. That promo code is THPN. Real quick, shameless plug. Please join the Who Cares Club. That is our brand new membership club. And we've got about 12 to 13 members. I forget exactly how many who are in it now, but they're scrolling across the bottom of the screen on YouTube if you're watching on YouTube. And we appreciate them. There is nothing that is behind a paywall. We are going to continue to keep all of our content free. This is just an extra little thing that you can do to kind of help us keep Starcaster Remarks free for everybody. And if you would do so, we would really appreciate it. And it helps us kind of cover the cost of some of the things that we have to pay for in order to do this podcast. So once again, thank you to the WCC members as always. Alongside nobody else tonight, it is just me. We appreciate you guys for listening. And we'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you all have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. GG boys. We'll be back with you guys again on Tuesday. Peace out.